As we hit Labor Day weekend and the unofficial end of the summer, it seems clear the New York economy is still struggling. Jobs lost from the pandemic shutdowns 2 years ago are not yet back. And if you believe experts,
it looks like maybe two more years before we get back to where we were prior to the pandemic.
For those seeking jobs, the news is actually good.
Right now, it seems that employees still have pretty clearly the upper hand in the labor market.
This week on 880 In-Depth, the state of the job market and New York's slow pandemic recovery.
I think the city has been faring not as well as the rest of the state for the obvious reason that the close down of the city of the economy was so severe and so many sectors were disrupted. And it's just taking longer for the city to catch up.
Welcome to 880 In-Depth. I'm Michael Wallace. Happy Labor Day, or is it? This week, we wanted to look into the job market in New York City, an important part of the economic engine that fuels the region. Coming up a little later, we'll speak to New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. But first, our Peter Haskell connected with James Orr, Associate Director of Economic Studies at the CUNY Graduate Center. Let's start there.
During the pandemic, New York City lost almost a million jobs. How do things look now?
Yeah, there was almost a million jobs lost. The recovery has been incomplete. That was in terms of percent. That was a 20% decline. About 15% of that 20% has been recovered. So we're still down about 170,000 jobs from where we were prior to the pandemic, which is about a 4% shortfall. So looking at, you know, average growth rates in the city over the last couple of years prior to the pandemic, a 4% loss, it looks like maybe two more years before we get back to where we were prior to the pandemic.
Tell us about the sectors that have recovered the most and which areas have yet to recover.
Yeah, I think there's three groups here. The ones that have yet to recover where there's still a significant shortfall include construction, retail, trade, and the accommodation and food service sector. Here, these were particularly hard hit, of course, a lot of in-person interaction. Efforts to control the outbreak affected these industries pretty significantly, and they have yet to recover. They're in a recovery process. But they are still below their pre-pandemic levels. Now, the ones that are closer to the peak are finance and insurance and professional and business services. Finance and insurance, including Wall Street. Wall Street has done very well recently. Professional and business services. Both of these sectors were in a situation where the workers were able to work from home. So maintaining their jobs while working online. So these sectors were not as hard hit. They're close to being back to where they were prior to the pandemic. And then two sectors, healthcare and information, actually are above their pre-pandemic peak. So the recovery there has been relatively strong. Healthcare, which has been strong in the city for a while now, it looks like it's reestablished its growth trend. And the information sector is also now above where it was prior to the pandemic. So I think you're thinking about these groups of industries. There are still some that are quite a bit below, and some others have matched or exceeded their previous peak.
It's interesting. The sectors that seem to be doing the best are those where people can work from home. And we've seen numbers mm-hmm. showing that office occupancy is about 35%. It's down slightly from before the summer. What does this tell us?
Yeah, I think it says that workers are coming back to the office. And as you mentioned, a lot of these sectors do employ workers who work in offices. And the recent surveys show that workers are coming back to the office. But I guess the overriding issue is that a hybrid model is going to be common. About the recent survey had 80% of employers saying there'll be some sort of hybrid model. 3 days a week in this survey looked like in the office, it looked like it was the most common, and 2 days at home. But we've got about 80% of firms that are looking at some sort of hybrid model. And the projection was in September, maybe on an average workday, 50% of office workers will be in the office.
COVID caused the economy really to tank. And some look back to 9/11 and the impact on the economy downtown. Are there similarities? Are there differences? Is it a fair comparison to look at what happened and then the comeback?
Yeah, I think it's instructive to look at past downturns. In the 2001 case, of course, we had the 9/11 terror attack. We also had the .com problem, and then we had a national recession. So those three factors really pushed the employment in the city down, and it was quite a ways to recover. 30 months in, which is what we are now from the pandemic, the level of employment in the city now is above where it was in that cycle. So that was a particularly difficult cycle. I'll emphasize that there was a national recession at that time, and I think as we get further away from the actual point at which the pandemic hit, a response, you know, just a sort of a response or bounce back from the pandemic starts to get confounded with other factors going on. And of course, we're in a situation now with a rising interest rates and other factors that are going to weigh in on the extent to which the city recovered. And I think in 2001, we saw that in particular with the combination of factors keeping employment down.
Is there a sense what to expect come fall and winter? I mean, do we expect that this recovery is going to continue? Is it going to plateau? Do we have any sense of that?
Well, I think we've got most of the industries are continuing to recover. Again, the particularly large shortfalls in some sectors. But some of the other sectors have matched or exceeded their previous peak. When we look out, I think just taking an example of tourism, tourism is projected to increase, and that's an important factor for several industries in the city. And visitors are up, and the projection is for them to continue to be up. The population change that we had talked about, it seems from the latest data that some of those negative trends are being reversed, particularly the decline that we saw in immigration and the rise in deaths in the city. Some of these are being reversed, so I think there are definite signs that the city will continue to recover. However, that's a big if, because we're looking at a situation where the Fed is trying to control inflation without creating a recession. That creates some uncertainty for the city. And as I mentioned, since the pandemic, we've had the war in Ukraine and energy increases and a stock market that had declined from its peak. So, yeah, there are signs that some of the negative effects of the pandemic are wearing off. But now we have a new set of issues that are going to impact how the city recovers.
Speaking of which, the subject it seems that almost all public officials are talking about is crime. Do we know how that might impact future economic growth?
Well, I'm not sure we can put a number on it, but certainly I think workers, residents, commuters, tourists need to feel safe. And I think if they're not feeling safe, that's obviously going to impact their willingness to come to New York. Again, I don't have a number. I'm not sure there's a number there that exactly how that's going to affect it. But it's certainly something to keep an eye on, because everyone needs to feel safe.
Jim, is there anything else that we missed that you want to add?
Well, I think it's interesting that the tech sector, which I'm referring to as which I use the information sector to represent tech, has done particularly well. I mean, by 2021, it had surpassed its pre-pandemic peak. got some very strong components. The publishing part of it, the internet publishing part, social media part has been very strong. So this is increased employment in the sector, in the city, and it now matches Wall Street employment in terms of numbers, not in terms of salary. Wall Street is still a major generator of earnings, but in terms of employment, it's now as big as Wall Street. So I think that definitely deserves watching.
One organization with a keen eye on the job market is Challenger Gray & Christmas. Andy Challenger is a vice president at the Chicago-based outplacement and executive coaching firm. We asked him about the job market in the United States.
We're still at a historic level of job openings, 11 million roughly job openings in the country. That's near an all-time record. And at the same time, we have a workforce that is has a hole in it. It's just not quite as many workers as we need to fill those positions. So people that are out there searching for roles have quite a few options available to them right now at about a 2-to-1 ratio.
Is there something about folks who are not coming back to the workforce who were there before, or are there other factors as well?
Yeah, that is part of it. We've seen some families have made decisions to continue forward, you know, after this pandemic as a one-income household. That does disproportionately affect women, so we've seen fewer women come back into the workforce. And then we also saw a lot of Americans that decided to retire early. They left the workforce in March of 2020 and found that they were okay with that coming back. And so I think those two factors have been the ones that are most prominent to the smaller labor force that we have today.
Based on this demand, does that mean that wages are going up?
Wages are continuing to go up. We've seen a very quick rise in wages over the last year and a half. There's fierce competition for workers among employers. When you look at it, however, in terms of real wages in the context of inflation, it doesn't seem that wages have quite outpaced or kept pace with the increasing cost of goods around the country. So those wage gains, people aren't cheering in the street in the same way that they might in another economy.
You talk about inflation. What impact might that have on the job market going forward?
Yeah, inflation is an economic constraint that is certainly concerning for all workers in the country because of its potential effect on demand for goods. As inflation, as prices go up, people tend to spend less money. The Federal Reserve is specifically trying to slow down the economy, and that will eventually hit the labor market. It doesn't seem to have hit it yet. Yet when we talk to employers, roughly 50% of them believe we will go into a recession, and that will certainly have a cooling effect on employee wages and new hiring at some point in the future.
One area both employers and employees are still struggling to understand is the future of hybrid work, a byproduct of the pandemic.
There is clearly some tension between employers and employees. We hear every few months employers announce their line in the sand, the day that employees are coming back to the office. And for a year and a half, that date has come and gone over and over and over again, either because of spikes in COVID or I think most probably because employers are just worried their workers are going to quit if they're forced to come back to the office when they have lots of other options. we have not quite yet reached what the new world of working is going to look like, some post-COVID equilibrium of how many days in the office and how many days from home people are going to be working. I think as the labor market starts to cool down, employees lose a little bit of their leverage and employers gain a little bit back. We'll start to see people moving back to the office at least a few more days a week.
So who's got the upper hand now? I mean, can workers say, you want me to come in, I'll go elsewhere? I mean, is there a way to determine that?
Yeah, right now it seems that employees still have pretty clearly the upper hand in the labor market. They are, in some cases, refusing to come back to the office and big public displays, as we've seen at a couple of large organizations. We've seen many, many companies, even in recent weeks and months, push back their return to the office date for fear of employees quitting en masse when they have lots of other options. I don't think that's going to last forever. I think eventually things will start to cool down in the labor market a touch. Employers will probably get a bit of their bargaining position back, and we'll see some more work in the office, but it doesn't feel like we're ever going to go back to 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, ever again.
Why is it important to get workers back in the office, and is it important?
I think when I talk to employers, whether they're CHROs or CEOs, they see a huge cost in terms of retention. So they look at the turnover rate of their employees. They don't feel that their workers are connected to their organization and they're at home alone with their work. They don't feel very connected to the company, and it's much easier to take new positions and change jobs very quickly. And I think for employers, they see the cost of that hitting the bottom line in a very significant way. It takes a lot of time and money to recruit, attract, train somebody in a role just to see them move out of that role for a new position a few months later.
Are there certain sectors where it seems to make more sense for workers to be in the office as opposed to working from home, certain jobs where you really need to be in?
Yeah, I mean, it's always important to remember the overall context that only about a third of jobs in the United States can be done remotely at all. The majority of Americans have to go in to do their jobs in person, but in that roughly third of the positions that are previously done in an office and the work is computer-based and they can do it from home, the ones that seem to where it's most valuable to be in the office is those ones where you're doing a lot of in-person collaboration with your colleagues. You're not doing solo work, but instead you're bouncing ideas off of each other. You are going out to lunches and happy hours with both your coworkers and maybe potential customers. Those in-person interactions do seem to be more valuable in a subset of jobs.
What's the biggest concern you hear from employers?
Employers, I would say right now, are still most focused on recruiting. They're still trying to fill roles, and in some industries in particular, like retail, restaurant, entertainment, and leisure, jobs that are done in person, companies are facing a serious labor shortage. Like we said at the top of the interview, there's 2 open jobs for every unemployed person in the country right now, and that's a really stiff job market to try to hire in. We've seen companies almost completely focused on just trying to fill roles for nearly a year and a half, and that is We expect it to let up sometime soon, but I'd say right at this moment, it has not yet.
As for New York City?
I think it's fair to say the city's job market is still in a recovery mode, and that recovery is uneven. Different industries are recovering at a different pace.
Tom DiNapoli is the New York State Comptroller. He spent time with our Peter Haskell talking about New York City's sluggish recovery.
New York City, because it was hit so hard so early in the pandemic, suffered a greater amount of job loss. And you see in the numbers that it lags the rest of the state in terms of job recovery.
And so what are the sectors that seem to be doing the best, and which ones are lagging behind?
Well, it's interesting and probably no surprise. Those industries where working remotely was easy to accomplish have done better, have not seen significant job loss. So whether it's financial services or real estate, business services, where working remotely was a relatively easy transition, they've fared better. So face-to-face industries, those related to tourism, hospitality, restaurant, the construction sector, those have not fared as well. So the recovery there has been much slower. So you do see some areas, particularly healthcare services, business services, they've grown back, by and large, all the jobs that were lost. But certainly anything related to the hospitality sector, we still see a significant lag. And then obviously within those sectors, different groups have been impacted in different ways.
Do you have a sense as to how long it'll be till we reach a full recovery?
It's an important question, but the challenge there is, where is this economy headed? So if we are, in fact, headed to a slowdown at best, a recession at worst, that could impact the recovery that has been underway. And we know from the COVID experience and past history, there are certain groups that are going to fare more poorly. So when you look at those sectors of the economy that have still been lagging, no surprise when you look at something like the hospitality and restaurant sector, high percentage of immigrants there. So if we see a further slowdown or recession, they've already been impacted more negatively. They could be impacted even more so. You look at some of the numbers, and generally younger people in New York City have had a harder time getting back into the labor market. Men rather than women have had a harder time getting back into the labor market. So the concern is, if we are really headed to an economic slowdown, will this just exacerbate some existing inequities that are there?
Are there certain people who have decided not to get back into the job market?
Yeah, I mean, that's that other question, right? So we look at the unemployment rate, but we also look at labor force participation, those that either have work or are looking for work. And there's no doubt there that we see that we've lost, that's been negative. In fact, New York City, when you look at labor force participation rates, it's been a more severe drop in New York City than it has been nationally.
Why do you think that is?
I think part of it is that it reflects New York City's diverse economy and those industries that have still just not come back. And again, looking at that construction sector, hospitality, restaurant, tourism related, tourism, domestic tourism has been coming back, but we still don't see the same level of tourism from overseas. Particularly the Chinese tourists would spend an awful lot of money. We're not seeing that right now. So when you look again at the profile, demographic profile, who works in hospitality related industries, whether you're talking about the taxi drivers or the restaurant workers, they are more typically immigrant, and very often in these sectors also more likely to be people of color. So that's having an impact on that that labor force participation numbers that that we're looking at. What's interesting is that, you know, what we're seeing is that and not necessarily clear as to why, but female unemployment rates seem to be improving faster than for men. And there was just a study that came out, actually national figures, but I suspect the same is true for New York City. Wage growth for women has been growing faster than for men this year. Women still, on average, are earning less, but their wage growth seems to be more accelerated. That may have something to do with health care, which is an area where there are many women employed, and we know the renewed priority on health care and some of the incentives that have been put out there in terms of increased wages for health care workers. That perhaps may explain part of that dynamic.
You talk about the fact the city is lagging the rest of the state. So why is that, number one? And number two, hindsight being 2020, was shutting down the city's economy worthwhile?
Well, you know, in terms of the latter question, whether it was worthwhile or not, I think given how hard the pandemic hit New York City and how a lot of decisions were being made in a crisis mode to try to protect the public health, you know, hindsight may suggest some different steps could have been taken, but I think at the time that was viewed as the right thing to do to try to control the spread of COVID-19. But I think the city has been faring not as well as the rest of the state for the obvious reason that the close down of the city of the economy was so severe and so many sectors were disrupted. And it's just taking longer for the city to catch up. You know, this year, I have to say, the city was doing more on par with what the rest of the state was in terms of unemployment numbers, but because the city was still behind, it continues to be behind. July, New York State's unemployment rate was about 4.4%. New York City 6.1%, and because New York City is pulling down the statewide numbers, compared to nationally, which was 3.5%, we're down. You look at outside of New York City, unemployment rate for New York State, excluding New York City, was 3.1%, better than the national average. So it just shows New York City, still has a ways to go to come back to where it was. Because usually we talk about New York City as the economic engine for the state. We want to get back certainly to that point.
It's interesting. We talk about jobs and these kinds of numbers, but at the end of the day, the bottom line is about collecting taxes. So what has the impact been on that?
That's an interesting question, because probably not as severe as in a negative way as one might suspect. And part of that is that higher paid professional positions in the office sector, financial services particularly, that was a part of the economy that was easily adapted to a remote work environment. So, in terms of, Wall Street jobs, you didn't see the job loss that you saw in, let's say, the restaurant industry. Why? Because even if they weren't coming into the office, they still were able to work. So higher income earning New Yorkers were less impacted. They pay a larger share of the city and the state income tax. So, in fact, the revenues have stayed relatively strong. Actually, July was the first time we saw a slight dip below projections for state tax collections, but they've remained relatively strong because of those sectors able to adapt to a remote work environment. Now, Wall Street contributes a great deal to the New York City tax base and the state tax base as well. Obviously, this year is a much choppier year for the financial market, so the kind of profits and bonuses we saw last year, certainly at the rate we're going as we head into September, probably not likely to be as good a year this year. So down the road, that might very well impact revenue. But for now, tax revenue has held up surprisingly well because those at the higher end of the pay scale have not been as disrupted as much as those at the lower end of the pay scale.
There are still plenty of people who are working from home, as you talk about. How does that impact the overall recovery, and does it have an impact on taxes?
Well, it does, because if people are not coming into the office, even though they may be getting their good salary and paying taxes on it, they're not coming into the city. They're not spending money at lunchtime. They're probably not staying in the city to go to a restaurant or a Broadway show. So there's no doubt that that has had an impact. The impact on the MTA, on public transit. I mean, the MTA relies heavily on ridership, money that comes in from folks using the subway and the trains and paying fares. Obviously, that ridership has not come back as strongly as first anticipated. So ultimately, that becomes a requirement then for city and state to figure out ways to make up the difference. So impact on sales tax revenue, impact on funding for MTA, office buildings that are empty could very well lead to landlords looking to reduce their property tax assessments. New York City depends very significantly on the property tax for their revenues. So if assessed valuations go down because commercial properties aren't worth as much, all of this has a, you know, has a ripple effect in a negative way. And so if you layer on top of that, if the economy is not just slowing down but worse, headed to a recession, you could really see that some of the positive that we've had in recent times is not going to be there. And then add on top of that the federal money that has really saved us in New York State and New York City, that's not forever. And that's starting to be spent down as well. So, you know, I think the key word I would use as we look for the next year or two for New York City finances, for state finances, caution. We may not have as good a time as we've had the past year or two. It may be a much more challenging fiscal environment for us.
Last word this week goes to Controller DiNapoli.
I think it's important to look at the trends and the numbers and to recognize, you know, not just the big overall numbers, but recognize that different sectors of the economy are responding differently to economic conditions. There are still some sectors of the economy that definitely need more support, and that when you look at the demographics, you know, whether you're talking about immigrants or people of color or younger people, you're still seeing significant disruption in the labor force among those groups. So we need to be mindful of that and make sure that as we're making decisions, we're going to lift everyone's boat. And there are still some folks that were probably left behind before the pandemic hit, but the pandemic really exaggerated some of the inequities that were already there. We need to be mindful of that and deal with it.
Tom, thanks so much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Peter, thank you.
WCBS reporter Peter Haskell with New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli. 880 In Depth is a production of WCBS News Radio 880. The executive producers are Peter Haskell and Tim Scheld. I'm Michael Wallace. Thank you for listening.